Hi, Marty Lurie here at KNBR 680 as we get ready for baseball. It's the Giants and the Cubs, and what a weekend of baseball it is. We're joined by Mark Gonzalez, very familiar name in the Bay Area, of course, from San Jose, and did so many things writing-wise in the Bay Area. And Gonzo, it's great to have you on the show. Now covering the Cubs for the Chicago Tribune. You got a good deal here.
Yeah, a lot on my hands, but that's all good. It's good to keep me busy, and it's great to be home.
Talk about Chicago. And what's going on in Chicago? Because you had an event 2 weeks ago. Both teams were home playing other division winners, and they hadn't go back 100 years. It seems like every week we're going back 100 years to figure something out. But Chicago baseball is pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is. And I think just the fact that the Cubs started off so well, record-setting start, and the White Sox, who weren't expected to do this well and then get out to a big lead in the American League Central, has really created a buzz around town, especially because the Bulls let down a lot of people. The Blackhawks were eliminated in the first round. It's kind of shifted people's attention toward baseball, and it's really helped people's moods there. You'd be surprised that you can judge the mood of the city based on how the Bears do on Fall Mondays.
Boy, that's a true story of sports. But Wrigley's had the makeover, a new clubhouse. Someone wrote the other day, it's the best clubhouse in baseball. Is that possible?
Well, it would rival the Yankees. I would say the Cubs clubhouse is more cozy because it's more circular and it's not as gaudy as the Yankees, and the Cub players don't have an extra locker room to hide. I mean, these guys are good guys to deal with, but the new clubhouse was much needed, and I think these players have really embraced it. They're appreciative of the Ricketts family for spending millions of dollars to provide this area for them, which they have so many resources now, and they've making a great use of it.
Who are the good guys for you to go to on the Cubs? Because you're the beat writer, and, you know, we talk to these people for 7 months in a row. Who do you go to? Who are the good guys?
This team, 1 through 25, there's not one guy that you say, God, I want to avoid him. It's a really good group. It's a good veteran group. I think David Ross, this is his last year. He's had a terrific career, and he's playing very well defensively. He's a guy that's always going to give you an honest answer with perspective. Jake Arrieta is really a guy that's out there in the forefront as far as expressing his mind. You know, he's got a lot on the plate as far as his contract, his start, but he doesn't shy away from too much, and he's a guy that's always forthcoming. It's a really good group.
Are the Cubs going to re-sign him long-term? I know his age gets in the way, and he doesn't have this long, long track record, but my goodness.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting landscape. I my gut feeling is he will return, but there's a lot of balls in play right now, especially because of his age. He's 30. He doesn't have a deep track record of success like some other guys, but certainly this is record setting what he's doing. And you got to think that the revenues that Wrigley Field's bringing in, just with the renovations and then the neighborhoods changed quite a bit. There's going to be a lot of money flowing, and I think Jake will reach an agreement with the Cubs.
All right, that's Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune. Mark, of course, a Bay Area guy. Gonzo, as we look at the Cubs, they're playing 700 ball. You don't play 700 ball. You got to go, maybe the Cleveland Indians in 1954 played 700 ball. You don't do that. Corrections happen in baseball, don't they?
They sure do, and they know that. I mean, they know, you know, water seeks its own level. But I think all along, you know, they thought, hey, we can't keep this up, win every game, but we can play very, very well. The attitude, one game at a time, that gets beaten to death. But the reality is they've done a terrific job of that because they haven't lost, you know, games on back-to-back calendar days. And I think that speaks to their focus at the game at hand.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the Cubs specifically. And this has been a tough week for them, notwithstanding the first game against the Giants. But they haven't hit with runners in scoring position. Now, we go through this with the Giants all the time. The cycles of baseball, and the Cubs actually, unfortunately, got into one for them.
Yeah, it's been very, very deep-rooted the last few weeks, especially this week. And, you know, the Brewers pitched them well, but you would think at some point these guys got a breakthrough. They did a terrific job the first 4 weeks of scoring when it counted and giving their starters some margin for error. That hasn't been the case now, and it's been throughout the lineup. There's been a lot of guys that have struggled, with the exception of Ben Zobrist, who really is a stabilizer in the middle of that lineup, and arguably, out of their three free agent signings, he's by far their best signing.
Wow, would you say Zobrist, and I know Jason Stark did his MVPs already, only at the quarter pole this season. Zobrist the MVP of this team so far?
I think he's taken over. A case could be made early for Dexter Fowler, but Dexter's kind of come down to earth a little bit. He's still hitting over 300, but Zobrist is a guy. I mean, he's a switch hitter. He's getting a clutch hits. He hits behind Rizzo, so he knows that he's going to have somebody getting on base in front of him. And then he's also setting the table for guys like Addison Russell below in the order. He's just a true pro. You know, he's 34. Some people thought, oh, it's a bad signing. But right now, this team's built on winning now, and he's making sure that they achieve that goal.
Well, the Giants wanted him this winter. Believe me, they were after Ben Zobrist, and now he's a Chicago Cub. All right, what about the genius, Joe Maddon? He's always got tricks up his sleeve doing something. What's up with him?
What you see is what you get with Joe, and sometimes it's eye-raising, but he's got a purpose for everything. He's got a right touch for that day. He seems to push the right buttons. I think in spring training, some guys were wondering outside the organization, guy, when is this going to stop with the gimmicks? But the key is you have a good laugh in the morning, and then you do your work. And it was business at hand. This team has rarely made any mental mistakes. They've been very sharp, and I think it speaks to what Joe and the coaches have done as far as carrying out the mission, having a good time, but don't lose sight of what the main goal is.
Now, they joke about a petting zoo and things like that, and on the road trips, he usually has some sort of theme. Now, this is a road trip. You're coming in to San Francisco. What's the theme here?
Right now is just when he's got to tap the brakes a little bit, because when they went to Pittsburgh, they had a minimalist suit trip where a guy's dressed up in goofy outfits, and they had to wear one piece of attire outside of going to and from Pittsburgh. So if you were going to a coffee shop in downtown Pittsburgh, you had to wear a jacket or some goofy pants. Clayton Richard, for instance, dressed up as a Riddler. And then you had some guys dressed up in Stars and Stripes outfits. But it really created a good vibe. I mean, they swept the Pirates, but everybody was on board with it. You didn't hear any bickering. And these guys made a full effort to dress up in a humorous way. I mean, guys were dressed in camouflage suits. So this wasn't one where they cut corners. They went all out.
Yeah, Mark Gonzalez with us, covers the Cubs for the Chicago Tribune. Bonding in baseball is so important, and you see the good teams, the World Series teams, always come up with something, and Joe Maddon's been doing that. All right, this weekend, the game, John Lester will pitch against Matt Cain. John Lester, why don't they bunt on him all the time? He can't throw his glove to first base from the third baseline.
He's pitched very well. I think it's the second year with this organization has really helped him. He's more comfortable. The change of scenery, that's in the past now. I mean, he's familiar with the cities, where to go, what to do. And I think bringing on John Lackey has really helped him. I mean, this has really kind of put him at ease a little more. I thought John Lester all along was going to be more comfortable his second year, but Lackey's really fostered that quite a bit.
Well, Lester's a guy the Giants wanted as well. How's he pitching, though? I mean, I look at it, the batting average against is really low. He took a no-hitter into the seventh inning, I think his last time out. What do you get from Lester? Is it consistent?
Yeah, it is. And he's got the cut fastball. He's also learned sometimes that the pitch without your best stuff and try to get away with things. In Pittsburgh, he didn't have a great command of his breaking pitches. So he had to use his fastball, but he knew that he couldn't throw it so much that guys would sit on it. So he's become more creative, and I think he's thrown a little bit harder, too. He's more back to 93, 94. Last year, he had the dead arm fatigue in spring training. I never thought he got in that rhythm where he was tapping out at 94-95. I think we're seeing John Lester a little more zip earlier this season.
Okay, that's a good point. Yeah, last year he did have that fatigue early in the season. Gonzo, what about Sunday's pitcher, Kyle Hendricks? Now, last time out had a good game, and 2 years ago I thought this guy was the next big star coming. Last year it didn't quite happen for him. How's Hendricks doing?
He's been fine. You know, he had a couple of rough starts, but for the most part, he's fun to watch, and I say that because he's not going to light up the radar gun, but he finds ways to get guys out, whether it's a 79-mile-an-hour curve or busting in on a fastball that's only 88. Giant fans, just close your eyes and picture a right-handed Kirk Reeder. This is what this guy is in terms of beating you with his head instead of his arm. But he's got a decent arm, man. He pitched very well against the Brewers, got away with too many fastballs. One caught him in the end, but he's a very crafty guy.
All right, that's Kyle Hendricks. We'll see him Sunday against the Giants. That'll be against Madison Bumgarner. That'll be an interesting finale to this three-game series. Mark, what about the bullpen? And I look at some of the numbers, Warren from the Yankees. I look at Rondon. If you're a right-handed hitter, you don't want to sort of face the Cub bullpen, I'll tell you that.
No, Warren was a great acquisition. They got him from the Yankees for Starling Castro. He's a guy that would do even better in this park because it's so spacious. But Warren's pretty much a ground ball guy, throws a heavy sinker. I think the long-range plan for him is be a starter someday. He did that with the Yankees. He was a swing guy, did very well on short notice. Rondon has just been dominant with a strikeout to innings pitched or batter's face ratio. And then Strope's got a really sharp slider. He had a couple of speed bumps, but for the most part, Strope's been a dependable eighth inning guy.
All right, you've covered so many good teams in your life, the good A's teams in the early part of the century here, the 2000s, playoff teams. How do you rate this Cub team as a ball club? The kind of team that you say they don't make mental mistakes, but do they have everything? Do they have everything to maybe win a World Series?
They do, but I'll nitpick right now and say keep an eye on the catchers. And I say that only because David Ross is 39, Miguel Montero's 32. David's caught a lot of games early because Miguel was hurt. You know, this is a young man's game now. These guys are kind of defiant a little bit, but they're still pretty productive. But we haven't gotten to the dog days of summer yet, and it's been oddly very, very cold in Chicago. We haven't had a real true spring. But keep an eye on those guys. And also left-handed relief could be an issue. So those are two areas. Some people think they need a left fielder with Schwarber out. Soler hasn't stepped up to their liking. I think the pitching's going to be a more urgent matter as we go deeper in the season.
Can anybody in the Central catch him? I mean, we've seen a lot of St. Louis up and down. Wainwright's sort of pitching better now. The Pirates have two great pitchers in the minor leagues that they're talking about coming up maybe in August. Can the Pirates or the Cardinals catch these guys?
I think it's possible, but I've said all along, after the Cubs' great start, it's their division to lose. And I think just the margin that they have right now, barring an injury, I still think it's going to go that way. You know, the Cardinals, I think, will get a lift when Reyes comes back from a suspension and gets his feet wet a little bit at AAA. The Pirates, you mentioned the two big horses down at AAA. I think at some point they're going to have to say, hey, forget the service time. We need to get these guys up now because they just need help at the back end. They're not getting it. And I think that getting the shortstop back young will really help them quite a bit.
All right. Mark Gonzalez with us. How is it to be home? You like being home looking out at this beautiful ballpark?
Love being home. It just feels really good. I was out here yesterday, and, you know, some things change in the Bay Area, but it's all good.
All right, Mark. Thanks so much for being on.
Thank you.
All right. That's Mark Gonzalez, Chicago Tribune. A good report on the Cubs, Giants. More coming up on KNBR 680, the sports leader.